How many of you have a piece of jewelry with a cross on it? You got a necklace, or maybe you got a tattoo. Have you ever seen the tattoo where your arm is like becomes the arm on the cross of Jesus? If you haven't seen that, look that up. It's like, it is a really cool looking tattoo. There are some pretty interesting crosses nowadays. There's designers have gotten hold of the idea of the cross, and so like you can get these real hip crosses that kind of are a slash, you know, and they kind of look really cool. Or you can get a more traditional cross, and then there's the cross that Jesus is still on, and then there's the cross that Jesus is not on anymore. And you can get them with stickers, and they can go anywhere and everywhere. And listen, all of that is okay as long as we know that the cross where Jesus died was not pretty. It was not hip, it was not cool, it was not fashionable. The cross where Jesus died was, in fact, a bloodbath. It was ugly. It was nothing fun to look at. Jesus suffered for us. Physically, he was beaten. He was whipped. A crown of thorns was put on his head. He was crucified on a cross. They nailed his hands and feet to a cross. Mentally and emotionally, he was abandoned by his disciples. He was mocked. He was spat on, made fun of. He was shamed. Spiritually, the weight of our sin was placed upon him. Of all the things that Jesus suffered at Calvary's Hill and upon that cross, this has got to be the worst, that every bad thing we've ever done and the consequences of it was placed upon his shoulders. I mean, some of you today, in fact, all of us today, have done something in our lives. We've said something at one time or another that really hurt the people we love. We caused damage. We did something. And if we could go back and change it, we would go back and change it, but we can't. And we still live today with the hurt that we caused someone else. But can you imagine that that hurt was placed upon Jesus? Then the same thing applies to the hurt and pain that your neighbor caused was applied to Jesus. And you go one by one through each. Just the people in this room and the hurt that we have caused by the sin we've committed was placed upon Jesus. What a great burden to bear. Can I be honest with you that before Christ came into my life, it almost overwhelmed me bearing the weight of my own sin. But Christ not only bore the weight of my sin, he bore the weight of all of our sin. And not just the people in this building, but in the building down the road and across the street. And the ones who love him and are worshiping him today than the ones who are cursing him and don't believe in him. All of the sin was placed upon him that day. It was not a pretty picture. Isaiah 52:14 says there were many who were appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. If you've seen the Passion of the Christ movie and how bloody and how awful it is, I'll never forget when we showed that at church, after it came out, we showed it at church, and there were many people that had to leave the room because it was so real and so awful, and yet that's exactly how it was, and maybe even worse than that. We don't really know, we weren't there, but we know that he suffered greatly because of our sins. And people ask, well, why did Jesus have to die and die such an ugly, awful death? Well, the truth is because sin is ugly and awful. Let me say it a different way. Your sin is ugly and awful. You see, there's a lie going around the world today that sin is not that bad. This idea that I'm a pretty good person. And let me tell you, in earthly terms, you probably are a good person. That means, you know, there's more good than bad. You never murdered anybody, you know, or anything like that. You're a good guy. You work hard and you do your things. But we're not preparing for this life. We're preparing for eternity, in which if you want to be in the goodness of God, in the presence of the Lord, sin at all can't be there. In other words, the standard for heaven is perfection. It's holiness. And we have all fallen short of that standard, including me. The truth is that if we want to be in the presence of the Lord, we can't have any sin in our lives. It must be dealt with. And let me tell you, sin can't be swept under the rug. You know, have you ever forgiven someone and there was really no restitution? You just dropped it. It's like you took what bad they did and you just swept it under the rug, right? Well, if my sin were swept under the rug, there'd be a pile of sin in a little tiny rug at the top of it. Some things you can't sweep under the rug, right? they're too great and they must be dealt with. Sin must be dealt with. Listen, God's a holy God and he loves to forgive people, but somebody still has to pay the penalty for your sin. Sin must be cleansed. The Bible says that all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Blood must be shed in order for forgiveness to take place. You see, in the Old Testament, God said the life is in the blood. You see, when someone's bleeding, what's happening is their life is literally oozing out of them. Their life is leaving them. When Jesus bled upon the cross, he was pouring out his life in place of ours. Are you hearing me today? It's important that we understand that God doesn't just forgive you and say, you know what, I love you, it's good, just don't worry about it. No, the truth is God can forgive you because someone's blood was shed in your place. Someone suffered the ugly consequences on a hill called Calvary, on a cross, so that you and I could be set free. You and I have sinned, and our sin must be dealt with. And the only way to deal with sin is the shedding of blood. So Jesus took our place. You know, it should have been me that was whipped. It should have been me that had a crown of thorns placed upon his head. It should have been me that suffered, was nailed to that cross. It should have been me that bore the weight of my own sin. If you remember in the scriptures, there was a thief on either side of Jesus. And one thief was just antagonistic and just rebellious to the end. But the other was feeling the weight of his own sin. He said, you know what? I deserve to be here. And I know that if it was me, if I was placed upon that cross, if I was facing the punishment for my own sin, that's how I'd feel. I know I've messed up. Come on. The reason I'm here today is not because I'm better than anyone else. It's because I've realized that I'm the worst of the worst, that I'm broken and that I can't save myself, that I tried for years to be the Lord of my life, the Savior of my life. I tried to be the God of my own life and make things turn out the way I wanted them to turn out. Ultimately, I kept failing and falling until I realized that I needed someone else to save me. I needed God to be the God of my life. You see, we come to Jesus not because we're better than anyone else, but because we realize how messed up and broken we are without him. If it were me on that cross, I would have realized and admitted that, because I've been to that place before. I've been to that place where I had to come to grips with my own sin, and it is there that I found Jesus. The cross should have been a bloodbath, but it should have been my blood. But Jesus paid the price for my sins. I want to read you what the Bible says about Jesus. Romans 5:6-9. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone might even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, that's me, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. 1 Peter 2:24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds at the cross, we have been made whole. And my favorite, Isaiah 53:4-6, and he himself, surely our griefs he bore and our sorrows he carried. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him. And by the scourging he took, we are healed. All of us, like sheep, we've gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused all of our sins to fall upon him. Do you know why Jesus went to the cross? You know why the crosses are everywhere? Because that bloody, ugly scene is where Jesus took the penalty that you and I deserve. That is the place where his blood was shed. That is the place where the wrath of God was satisfied. That is the place where we have hope. Can I promise you something? There's not hope in a political system. There's not hope in a self-help book. There's not hope in the things of the world and the ways of the world. There's not hope even in your own strength and in your own power, because all of those things at some point are going to fail you, but there is hope in Jesus. Can I promise you today that the blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary hasn't lost its power? It is still cleansing people from sin. You see, it wasn't just a bloodbath in the sense of what it looked like. It was a place where people can go and be cleansed from sin. Jesus' death on the cross doesn't matter to you if you're not washed in the blood. You must be bathed in the blood of Jesus. You know, soap works like this. You get dirt on you, and water and scrubbing can take some of it off, but there's some of it that's still there. And soap has this chemical ability to get between your skin and the dirt that's on you, and it separates the dirt from your skin, and it grabs it molecularly, if I could say that, and it takes it down the drain so that you come out looking and smelling good. Yeah? Can I tell you something? God doesn't want you to suffer the consequences of sin. But without Jesus, your sin is attached to you eternally. You can't get it off. You can scrub with everything in the world, and you can try to do good works and try to be a good person. And listen, if you stand before God and you say, God, but I've done more things than bad things. Listen, heaven's standard is perfection. I always put it this way. You know, if you were to stand before a judge and say, you know, judge, I've lived 56 years and I only murdered one person. Is he going to say, well, you know what? You should go home free of charge. No, he's going to throw you in jail for murdering one person. All it takes is one, right? And if we stand before God and we say, God, you know, but I went to church and I raised my hands and I sang the songs and I did all of the stuff and I played the religious part well. I gave money to the church, Lord. I helped the poor. You can do all of these things, but none of those things will separate sin from you. Only the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Only the blood of Jesus applied to your life gets between you and your sin and separates your sin. You know, Jesus went to the cross so that he could get the sin off of you, take it to the grave, down the drain, so that it would stay there apart from your life. Amen? I'm not here to tell you that you're going to be perfect when you come to Jesus, because all of us still fall short of the glory of God. The Apostle Paul said it like this: if you're talking about sinners, I'm the chief. And I heard someone say something the other day that was pretty good. If Paul's the chief, I would have to be the assistant chief, because I am a knucklehead at times, right? And like this, I tell people, if you ever get to know me, you'll realize I'm not that great, and I can be not kind, and I can be mean sometimes, and I don't always say what I should and do what I should. And if you ever see anything good come out of me, that's not really me anyway. That's the Holy Spirit at work in me, right? What you're seeing is Jesus, not because of me, in spite of me. Come on, is anybody in the house with me today? His work in my life. And so we must understand that when we come to Jesus, it isn't about living to a new standard in our own strength and our own power. Listen, God will make changes in your life, and he will help you grow in the Lord. But our birth in Christ is rest. It's a place where we just receive and we trust that he saved us. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us the way that soap does. Water doesn't take away sin. You remember in the Old Testament, the Bible talks about the flood, that God saw so much sin in the world that he decided to flood the world with water. And you know what happened after he flooded the world with water and only Noah and his family was left? Sin just kept right on going. There's a symbol in that, a metaphor in that, because water is not going to cleanse anything. God was telling you, look, you can try it in an earthly way. Water represents the earthly way, but it's not going to get the job done. The first flood was the flood in the days of Noah. The second flood happened at Calvary, where the blood of Jesus flooded across all people who would receive him. And let me tell you something, that cleanses from sin like no water can. Are you hearing me today? That flood still flows today. And let me tell you how you're supposed to be washed in the blood, because it may sound religious or strange to you, but let me tell you what it means to be washed in the blood of Jesus. 1 John 1:5-9. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Now let me help you. When the Bible talks about light, it's talking about you seeing the truth. It's like you were in a dark room and you didn't know the truth, but the Holy Spirit turned the light on. And when the light comes on, all of a sudden, you don't need anybody to describe the room to you. It becomes apparent because the light came on, right? That's the work the Holy Spirit does in your life. He takes the Word of God, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and the light comes on. What's going to happen is that you're going to sit listening to this message, or you might see someone fulfilling God's love in the world. Some spark is going to happen, and the light's going to come on. And it won't be necessarily in here that you know that the Bible is true. It won't be up here. It will be somewhere in the depths of your soul that you just know that you know that you know that what the Bible says is true today. Some of you may be feeling that right now, that the light has been turned on because Jesus brought the light. The Holy Spirit brings the light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with God and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You hearing what He's saying? He's saying Jesus brought the truth. This is the truth. And I am turning the light on in your life so that you can see the truth. The truth is this. One, sin is ugly. Two, you and I have sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Three, the Holy Spirit, or God, is holy, righteous, without sin, perfect, way beyond us. And that my sin and God's holiness causes a problem for me. There's an impending judgment coming my way because my sin can't stand in the presence of God. Are you hearing me today? That light comes on, and we become aware of that instantly. And to some of you, you've experienced that, and you may not even intellectually understand it fully, but you've experienced it. And let me give you an example. Peter, when he first met Jesus, he had been on a fishing trip, and he had toiled all night long, professional fisherman, and caught nothing. And he comes into the shore dejected. How many of you ever had a job where you work, and if you don't produce results, you get no pay? It's a horrible thing to be a part of, sales commissions or something like that, and you just feel miserable. Peter had to be feeling that night, right? And then this rabbi named Jesus comes up to him and says, why don't you go out one more time, go out into the deep areas and put your nets down one more time? And you got to know Peter was thinking, oh, you blah, 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 just. But what'd he do? He said, I'll do it. Lord, if you say so, I'll do it. So he took his boats out into the deep, and he threw his nets down. And what happened? He began to pull them up. You know, he was pulling them up thinking there was going to be no weight to them. And all of a sudden, he feels weight as they're full of fish. In fact, they're so full of fish that his boat gets full, and he has to call his partners and other boats to come and fill. And the nets are breaking. It's such a powerful, amazing experience. And when he gets back to the shore, watch this, he falls on his knees before God. And he says, Lord, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. I want you to recognize the light came on in Peter's life. He recognized, one, I'm a sinful person. He recognized, two, that Jesus was way too holy for him. And he even recognized that that was a problem. He was telling Jesus, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. He recognized that his sin and God's holiness couldn't exist in the same place. What he didn't realize is that Jesus was going to pay the price for his sin. That's why Jesus said, you know what? You're coming with me, and I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And it changed his life forever. Do you know when the light comes on in your life, when you see the truth down inside of here that your sin has to be dealt with, that God is holy? Oh, listen, you've got a choice at that moment. You can walk in the light or you can reject the light. Can I tell you, there was many times growing up when my dad would preach the Word of God and the conviction of the Holy Spirit would come over me and the light would come on and I would know that I know that I know. Oh, I became aware of my sin, but I rejected the light. And I would go home and listen, as soon as you get out the front doors of the church, that starts to fade and you start to go back into that earthly mindset, just doing your own thing. But then somewhere down the road, it would hit me again and I'd feel that conviction. Just because the light comes on doesn't mean you respond to the light. But if you walk in the light, if you receive the light and accept what it's telling you and live according to it, you know what happens? It changes your life. If we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with Him. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. Did you get that today? What causes you to be washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus? It isn't an old song that your grandma used to sing. It's when you have fellowship with Jesus, when he is your Lord and Savior, when you've walked with him and you've talked with him, when you've confessed your sin, when you've laid your life before him and said, God, I'm at the end of me. I've got no more hope in saving myself. I'm taking every broken piece of my life and I'm laying it at your feet, and I say, Lord, do in me whatever you want to do in me. I make you my Savior and my Lord. Hallelujah. I'll never forget the night. We had had one of those services where the Holy Spirit just convicted me, and I was 18 years old, and there was young people at the altars getting saved and filled with the Spirit, and just God was moving upon their lives, and it convicted me, but I was still afraid. I was one of those people that thought, I can't live that life. I know me, and I can't be a Christian because I'm not good enough. I can't live with like Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so. And so I would reject the truth and not walk in the light. And one particular night we drove home after I rejected God again. And we got out of the car, and then I had forgotten something in the car, and I went out to the car to get it. And when I sat down in the driver's seat, the love of God just overwhelmed me. His Spirit just overwhelmed me. And the light came on. Everything was so clear. I didn't even really understand it intellectually at the time, but it was just so clear. It was like if you never saw a sunset, and then all of a sudden, the first time you open your eyes and you see it, no one has to describe it to you anymore. And it just, I saw it so clear, the weight of my sin, the reality of how broken I was and how much I needed Jesus. And you know what? He came to me with love. He didn't come to me with condemnation. He didn't come to remind me of my sin. He came to save me from my sin. And I said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And he said this to me. I'll never forget this. The Lord said to me, Mylon, I'm going to do it through you and for you. I didn't even know it at the time, but later on I found that scripture that says, I've been crucified with Christ, and it's really no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that you see me live now in this world is not really me. It's by faith in Christ Jesus. I stand before you today not because I have earned it or because I'm better than anybody else. I stand before you today because of Jesus. Hallelujah. He paid the price for my sin. He saved my soul. He filled me with his Spirit. He's working in my life. Every time I fall down, he picks me up. Why do I proclaim his word? Because I need his word. I need him today. The light of his truth has been shined upon my heart, and I responded to the truth. You see, when you respond to the truth and you receive and accept that, you accept it by faith. You believe that Jesus is who he says he was, the Son of God. You believe he did what he said he would do for you, and that is die on the cross for your sins. You believe in that so much that you trust in it, that if you were to stand before God today and God were to ask you, why you should enter into heaven, your answer would not be because I've done good works or done great things. Your answer would be Jesus. That's all I got, Lord. I give you nothing from me. All I got is Jesus. I'm trusting Jesus. Jesus is going to get me in. Can I tell you something? Though, before you ever got the words out, Jesus would speak up and say, Father, this one's mine. Yeah, I'm the one who intercedes for him. But, you know, that wouldn't even really happen either, because Jesus has already brought you to the Father if you're born again. And the Father would look at you and say, I know you. You belong to me. You're mine. Come in. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Are you hearing me today? What I'm here to tell you is that sin is the poison, and you've already swallowed it. I know it doesn't seem that bad from earth's perspectives, but the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and there's coming a time where there's no in-between. We're in a period of grace right now where God gives us common grace. We experience some good things in life in spite of the fact that we have lied and cheated and stolen, had hateful thoughts and all sorts of things. We've done things we shouldn't have done, and yet God lets us enjoy a sunrise, laugh at a good joke, have fellowship with one another. That's the common grace of God. Can I tell you, the day is coming when that's going to be gone. You're either going to be in his presence or out of his presence. Let me tell you something. Every good and perfect thing comes from God. So if you're not in the presence of God, if you're not with God, then there is no good and perfect thing in your life. That's the definition of hell. You see, hell is really us saying, I don't want you, God, and getting what we've asked for. Are you hearing me today? Sin is the poison. It keeps us from the presence of God. It's attached to us eternally. And it's just a matter of time before it takes us. But Jesus is the antidote. Jesus is the answer to the poison, to the sin in our lives. Jesus is the answer to it all. Are you hearing me today? So what you need to understand is that it's not that from this day forward you need to quit drinking poison. You need to stop sinning. Now, I'm telling you, it's good as we as children of God are working on our sanctification, our growth in the Lord, and we try to be better and do better, so long as we don't think what we do makes us right with God or not. We're right with God by the blood of Jesus. Our position with Him is based upon our faith in Him. So I'm not telling you to take less poison. If you've already drank the poison, taking less of it ain't really going to help you much. What I'm telling you is to take the antidote. You see, the antidote says that you've got this in your system to the point where even if you were to sin this afternoon, it can't take you because you've got the antidote, Jesus, in your life. The Bible says that in the old covenant, people went to the priest and they sacrificed animals and they shed the blood of goats and bulls. They did all these things, but none of it could take away your sin. But Jesus Christ one time died on the cross and shed His blood, and then He went up to heaven and He sat down at the right hand of God. Can I tell you something? Muhammad Ali ain't that good. Michael Jordan ain't that good, but Jesus is that good. One time He defeated the sin of the world. So I got to ask you today, have you been bathed in the blood of Jesus? Is the light on in your life today? Do you see in the depths of your soul? Maybe you don't even understand it up here all the way. But in here, you just know that what you're hearing today is the truth. That you need Jesus. That you've been the God of your own life, so to speak. You've sat on the throne. You've tried to save yourself, make something of your life. And it's like rolling a rock up a hill. You just, every time you take a breath, it rolls right back down on you. But today the light has come on. And you just know that it's the truth. Will you believe the truth? Will you accept the truth? Will you then walk in the truth? See, the Bible says in order for us to be born again, we need to repent. I know that sounds like a churchy word, but let me help you what it really means. Repent means that you change your mind, you change your position. Repent means not necessarily that you stop doing sin. Repent means that you decide that you're not God and that God is God. It means that you get off the throne of your life and you let God sit on the throne of your life. And the result of that is that behavior changes and thoughts changes. It's a change in position. When I received Christ into my life, I was saying, Lord, I'm not God in I should have never been sitting on the throne. I shouldn't have tried to save me and make me the Savior or the God of my own life. I turn from that and I make you the God of my life and Jesus the Savior and the Lord of my life. If you believe the light, if you turn from being the Savior of your own life, and if you confess that Jesus is your Savior and your Lord, the Bible says confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? It means it's public. There are no secret Christians. Had someone online tell me I need to keep my Jesus stuff to myself. You can't keep Jesus stuff to yourself. It bubbles out of you. Come on. And sometimes because we're broken vessels, it comes out of us in ways that don't always sound pretty or exactly right. But it bubbles out of us. Confess means you make it public. You say the words. Baptism is one of the greatest ways, water baptism. When we baptize people today, I want you to understand that there's nothing special about the water. In fact, if this ceremony isn't preceded by your conversion to Jesus, then this ceremony means nothing. It's not going to save you. But it is a symbol that when you go into the water, the old person that you were has died, like going into the grave, being laid into the grave. And when you come up out of the water, it's symbolic that you were raised to new life with Jesus who came back to life. Amen? Those who are born again have been washed in the blood, have been cleansed by the blood. Sometimes there are things that I do where I feel the guilt and I feel the worry and I feel the shame and I feel the pain of the mistakes I've made, the things I've said, the people I've hurt, most especially the way I've disappointed God. But I'm always reminded that God is not the one accusing me. God is the one who's cleansed me. And the blood of Jesus has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. That means when God looks at me, he doesn't see me and my mistakes. Those died with Jesus at the cross. What he sees is the perfection of Jesus in my life. I'm here to tell you today that the light is turned on in your life because Jesus loves you. And he's calling for you. And he wants to save you. And I know that some of you are just worried. You're stressed about church and how you're going to behave and what it means and what do you got to do and what are people going to say about me at work if I become a Christian? What is my family going to say if I become a Christian? Listen, God will help you with that one day at a time, one step at a time. He will give you strength and courage. And listen, he puts you in your home, in your family, in your job, in your school, not to condemn others as a Christian, but to love others as one of his children today. So if you'd bow your heads for just a moment. Father, I thank you for those who are here today. I thank you that you loved us all and that while we were yet sinners, Jesus came to this earth and died an ugly, brutal death upon the cross. I thank you, Jesus, that you loved us enough to shed your blood so that we could be saved. I thank you, God, that you didn't sweep things under the rug, but that Jesus took care of them. The debt has been paid. There's no punishment coming for me, God, because Jesus already took it. I thank you, God, that you loved me enough to send the Holy Spirit to turn the light on and show me this truth so I could respond to it. And God, I thank you that people today are responding to this truth, that the light is on in their soul and they're receiving, they're trusting and they're believing this truth, God. And I pray, Lord, that they would be saved, they would come to know you, Christ, in Jesus' mighty name. So I want to ask you today, if you're in this house and you would say, I need to be washed in the blood, I need to be changed, would you just slip your hand up today? Thank you, Jesus. I see that hand. Is there anyone else? You say, I need to be washed in the blood of Jesus. I need to repent. I need to get off the throne of my life, and I need to let God be the Savior and the Lord of my life. I admit that I'm broken. I admit that I have made light of my sin, and today I realize that it's not anything to be made light of and that the only hope I have of salvation is Jesus. If that's you, just slip your hand up today. I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want us to pray today. I want you to know that if you pray this with me today, it means nothing unless it means something. If it's not real, it has no power in your life. But if you mean this today, if this comes from your heart, and even if you didn't raise your hand, because I didn't have the courage to raise my hand in church, and even if you didn't raise your hand and you mean this today, the Bible says this, that God will make you his child. God will save you. He will wash you in the blood of Jesus and cleanse you from all sin. So would you just pray this with me today, all of us together, if you just repeat this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me. I believe in Jesus. I believe in who he is. I believe in what he's done. And I receive him as my Savior and as my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just praise him for a moment? Thank you, Jesus.